The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Did you know in the Bible that the word saved and salvation can mean many different things? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, as I said, saved and salvation has a range of different meanings, and that helps us understand the series that we're about to begin. We're calling it The Different Meanings of Saved. And we're going to look at a number of biblical books in the New Testament and explore the meanings of this word. Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are going to take us through this very important topic. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. We're so glad that you're listening with us. We're going to start a new series today.
Are you ready? We are?
Yeah, we're going to try to do that. Are you ready for that?
I guess so. Have we discussed it?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Not very much. Not with you. Obviously.
You did tell me what the topic was, but we haven't actually rehearsed anything,
no,
so this will be fun.
We did kind of rehearse it because this is based on an article that you've just written for the Journal of the Grace Evangelical Society, which we publish.
Right.
We publish it twice a year. It's deeper than where the blogs and the magazine go, but it's not so deep that it's only for specialized scholars.
Right.
You know, it's for interested lay people and pastors and seminary students to want to kind of get into these deeper topics.
Right.
And the topic that you wrote about was the different meanings of salvation in five New Testament books.
Right. Now, when I was at Dallas Seminary, I studied the meanings of words. Ever since I graduated, I have continued to study words. Some of the words I've especially studied in the 30-plus years I've been with Grace Evangelical Society are the words save and salvation, or sozo and soteria in Greek. It hit me at some point that certain books of the Bible use those words essentially, in many cases, always the same way in that book, or at least mostly that way in that whole book. I came to see it wasn't just a book like James, which I came to see that was true in James, but Zane Hodges wrote a commentary on Romans, and I came to see that that was true in Romans as well. And then as I studied other books like Hebrews or Philippians or 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, I came to see that there were quite a few different New Testament books where if you went in with the idea that salvation or to be saved referred to deliverance from eternal condemnation, you were going to totally miss what the book was saying.
Like if you thought it was about going to heaven or hell,
right?
You're saying it has different meanings in different books.
Right. Now, there are many books where different types of salvation can occur within the book, and occasionally you'll have a reference to salvation from eternal condemnation and then salvation from judgment in this life or from disease or from a storm or whatever. But in these five books we're going to look at, the words either always or almost always carry one meaning, and it's not the meaning of regeneration. It's not deliverance from eternal condemnation. It's something else. And I think as we look at that, we will see that this really opens up those books. And by the way, this isn't, you're familiar with the term special pleading, aren't you, Sean?
Yeah.
So what is special pleading? Some people criticize some of the things we've written as being special pleading.
Yeah. So the reason why you've been looking into this over the last 30 years is because Grace Evangelical Society, our ministry, focuses on clarity and evangelism and promoting the promise of eternal life and getting
right.
people to... Let's drop the Christianese complicated traditions about how to evangelize people, and let's look at how Jesus evangelized. Let's just use the same words that he did. And,
right.
And so an emphasis for us is there's only one condition to be born again, which is to believe in Jesus. There's no other works required, not baptism, not turning from your sins, not joining a church, not raising a hand, not walking an aisle, nothing else like that. It's just faith apart from works.
Right.
But that leaves us with a potential challenge. And the challenge is there are all kinds of other verses that say, well, salvation depends upon this, that, and the other thing. And so how do we answer that? There, yes, there are about 100 verses that say salvation is by faith apart from works, faith alone. You just wrote a book about that, faith alone in 100 verses. But what do we do about these other verses that seem to talk about salvation being dependent on things other than faith?
Right.
What you have argued, what we've argued is, well, when you look at those passages, it's not talking about this born-again regeneration salvation. It's talking about other types of salvation. And then people say, well, that's special pleading. You're just making up. You're just making salvation mean something completely different because it suits your argument, not because it's true to the context.
So special pleading, let's take James, which we'll look at in due time. Special pleading would be saying, hey, there are verses in James that contradict our faith alone position. So what we're going to do is make up some cockamamie view that has nothing to do with what the context is talking about.
Right.
Just to make it fit our view.
Yeah.
But not because that's what we found in the passage. That's not what the context leads us to believe.
Right.
That would be special pleading.
That's special pleading.
And what we're saying is, look, if James taught that the way to be born again was to stand on your head or do a handstand for 12 hours straight, then that's what we'd say. Whatever the text says, that's what I want to hold to, and that's what I want to proclaim. But the truth is, if we understand these five books contextually, based on what the author meant, you're going to come to these conclusions. And by the way, you could hold the views we hold on all five of these books and still hold the work salvation, that is, salvation from eternal condemnation, because you could say, well, these five books aren't about that. There's other books that are about it. But the truth is, these books aren't about how we get into the kingdom. These books are about something else. Now, there is a short justification section in Romans 3:21 to 4:25, but aside from that, the book of Romans isn't about justification.
Yeah.
The book of Romans is primarily about deliverance from God's wrath in this life via sanctification, by living a godly life. And of course, that's the sanctification section in Romans 5 through 8 especially. But what I'm suggesting is when we look at these five books and the use of the words save and salvation, we're not forced to come to these conclusions because of our theology. We come to these conclusions because this is what the passages clearly teach. And I remember the other way. I did special pleading when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. I didn't really study these verses in context, and so when someone would ask me about James 2, I had some stock answer that somebody taught me, and I just regurgitated it. And the same thing, if they asked me about Hebrews 6 or Hebrews 10, I just had some stock answer, and it wasn't based on careful study. What I'm suggesting is this is all based on careful study, and we're not making stuff up just because we need to.
Right. I mean, maybe just to give a example, I was reading a book about, you know, how to make a family budget and how to save money. Now, what kind of salvation are they talking about there?
Financial salvation.
Are they talking about salvation from eternal condemnation?
No, of course not.
No. I understand in context that saving money means putting money aside and not spending it and saving it for basically future spending.
But if that book happened to be in the Bible, people would go, wait a minute,
he's just making
this up because...
Oh, money has a soul and we need to get money out of hell into heaven.
Yeah.
No, that would be the dumbest way to read a book.
Right.
And no one does that. We all know that. But why do we do that with the Bible? Why do we suddenly, with the Bible, we read the word save and we think, well, it always has to mean salvation from hell? We know that's not how words work.
You used the term Christianese before, and that's Christianese.
Right. You have, at the beginning of your article, you have a range of meanings for soteria and sozo.
Right.
Just like in any dictionary, you open up any dictionary, look up any word, and there's going to be a range of meanings. And the same is true for Bible words.
Right.
So what's some of the range of meanings? Just to introduce what we might expect.
Okay. One of them that's very familiar to people is being saved from eternal condemnation, like John 3:17. And that reference occurs about 30% of the time in the New Testament. Not at all in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, about 30% of the time.
That's the classic. That when people think about salvation, that's what they think about. And you're saying about 30% of the time, that's what it means.
Right, like Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Okay.
Right.
But deliverance from impending death, you see that a lot in the four Gospels, well, especially the Synoptic Gospels, where the disciples are in the boat and they're about to drown.
Right.
They cry out, or Peter's walking on the water, Lord, save me.
So the New Testament does use it in the terms of, let's say, a firefighter pulling someone out of a building and saving them from death through fire,
right,
or smoke inhalation.
Right.
It does talk about physical salvation from threats to your life.
And you also have deliverance from illness. There's a lot of those in the Gospels, as well as, for example, James 5:15. One of them that we're going to talk about in this series is being spiritually healthy. And that's one most people aren't familiar with, but that occurs in a number of verses. Or handling trials in a way that honors God and lays up rewards for the life to come. That's one we'll see in the book of Philippians. Or being chosen as one of Christ's partners in the life to come. That's big in the book of Hebrews.
Mm-hmm.
Or deliverance from false teachers and their teachings. That's 1 Timothy 4:16.
So like if someone, sometimes you can say, I was saved from a cult. You know, it's like, man, I was in this cult and they were brainwashing me and I was saved from that cult. That
right.
doesn't mean you were... You're not going to go to hell and whatever. You were just rescued from their clutches.
Right.
And so you're saying the New Testament also has that sense sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be deliverance from false teachers. And sometimes it can be experiencing joy and contentment in the face of difficult circumstances. Or sometimes it can refer to judgment against sin. I'm being delivered from judgment that would fall on me if I continued in sin.
Okay.
And another one would be deliverance from the coming tribulation. That would be the rapture.
All right.
The rapture is a type of salvation.
So that gives us a range of meanings for salvation. And that should get us prepared mentally to go through these five books together.
Right. And I think as we go through these, we'll have the opportunity to evaluate. Does this make sense? Is this the clearest understanding of the passage? And I believe this will help you in your personal Bible study. If you just think about these things and meditate on these things, I think it will help you in your Bible study because you will begin to realize, oh, okay, maybe these words, save and salvation, are used in a particular way in particular books, and it will have, a very great impact on your personal study of the Word of God.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On Monday, we're going to start looking at what saved means in the book of Philippians, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.